Okay, so we're talking today about a kli shemalachto le'iser. And the basic definition of a kli shemalachto le'iser is an object whose main usage is to perform a malacha. Or, I shouldn't say to perform a malacha, to do an iser, whether it's a diraisa iser, a dirabanan iser, something that's main usage is to do an iser. So a great example, the classic example is a hammer. Hammer is something that's used for building. So therefore, it's a kli shemalachto le'iser, that's malachas for iser. Another great example is a pot. So a pot is generally set aside for cooking. That's its purpose. It does have other purposes. People can store food in there. But the main purpose of it is for cooking. So that's a kli shemalachto le'iser. Now, there is a very interesting discussion in trying to define this kli shemalachto le'iser. And I alluded to it just now by giving the example of a pot and a hammer. You'll notice that both of those things are kalim that the main purpose is for an iser, but they could also theoretically be used for things that are not an iser. Like a hammer can be used to crack open nuts. That's the classic example. A pot is used for cooking, which is a malacha, but it can also be used to store food, right? When you're done with the chicken soups, you put it back in the fridge in the pot. At least we do. So it can also be used to store food. So some would argue that that is a kli shemalachto le'iser, meaning something that is primarily used for iser, but can also be used for heter purposes. But what about a kli which is only used for iser? It has no reasonable use for heter. So the example that's brought down is, let's say, a wick. The purpose of a wick is in order to facilitate the fire, lighting of a fire, to a candle. There's no use for a wick. Now, when we say use, we mean something that you would theoretically, not even theoretically, you practically do during the week. I understand that if you're really stuck and you need to, I don't know, you could use a wick theoretically if you want to practice balancing something on your nose. So you could put a wick there. You can always, I guess, create some far, far, far-fetched usage of something. But we're talking about something that is a I don't even want to say semi-regular, but a reasonable, permissible act for that type of purpose. So a hammer is for sure kli shemalachto le'iser. But what about something which is kulo le'iser? So the example is like a wick or a candle. So if you take a look in Shin Ches, in our Simen, so the Mishnah Berurah seems to quote two opinions about this. Let's just pull it up. Again, we are in Simen Shin Ches. And let's just get that up here. Shin Ches Lamed Dalet. So says the Mishnah Berurah like this. We're sort of towards the middle of the piece. Says like this. The chain ner shalem, right in the middle, and so to a ner shalem of shavar, of wick, candle, a wax candle. I feel a nidluk a kfar b'chol o b'shabbos, even if it's already been lit. She'over kol b'shabbos shavra in the past Shabbos, it's already been used. Kol she'adayin ruliyah the hadlaka mikrei kli shemalach d'liser. Anything which can still be used for hadlaka, so it's a kli whose purpose is for an iser. Umikan, and from here, magala b'fume dinche, people make the mistake, they say, but they make a mistake. It's common for people to say that you're allowed to move it. Mutul etalto ner shalem, you're allowed to move it in order that it doesn't get ruined, or you can give it to a goy and have for his purposes. Meaning you're allowed to move it for any purpose, not just letzorech gufo mekomo, which are the special halachos by a kli shemalach lister. We didn't mention this yet, but we're going to be talking about it soon, that there's special halachos about when you're allowed. Even though it is muksa, a kli shemalachto le'iser, like a hammer, you are allowed to move it for certain purposes. The classic purpose would be if you need to use it itself. Right? The hammer, which is primarily used for building, it's primarily used for iser, but since there is a use of heter, which is that you can use it to open nuts, crack open nuts, so you would be allowed to move it, at least for that purpose. But you wouldn't be able to move it just stop. So says the Mishnah Berurah, people make the mistake, they think that they can move a candle just stam. But that's not true. Rather, only, she'eno mutl etalto kli shemalach d'liser. You're not allowed to move a kli shemalach d'liser. Ella kishetzarach l'makomo shal kli, o shetzarach Yisrael l'gufo shal kli. only the tzorach gufo, the tzorach makom, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But you see here, he's clearly defining the candle as a kli shemalachto l'isser, and therefore it has the rules of a kli shemalachto l'isser. And then at the very end of this piece, and he says, like for instance, a cornice l'ptzoa boagozim, hammer or mallet in order to crack open nuts. Then he writes ubisefer mor ptzia, but in the sefer mor ptzia, he's machmir that afilu aner shalem is going to be usher l'tatel, even l'tzorach makom l'tzorach gufo. I mean, it's not going to get the rules of a kli shemalachto l'isser. Why? Because the gabe Shabbos ain't all of shem kli klau, because it doesn't have a, it's not chazi l'achila, it's not chazi l'tashmish, it doesn't have a Shabbos usage at all, and therefore it's kulo l'isser, and it's considered to be a, not to be a kli shemalachto l'isser. So these two deos in the Mishnah Berurah, and I believe in the Orchos Shabbos, he quotes these two deos as arguing over this nekuda, over this question, something which is kulo l'isser, is that still considered a kli shemalachto l'isser? Or in order to be a kli shemalachto, or in order to be a kli shemalachto l'isser, you need to have a heter purpose on Shabbos. So what would be its status if it's not considered a kli shemalachto l'isser? It's going to be considered muksa machmas gufa. It's going to be considered just absolutely, it's like a rock, it's like dirt. It has no usage, and it cannot be moved at all on Shabbos. So this is a, it could be a far-ranging machlokas regarding household items that we have that really are only used for one purpose. So the modern-day poskim, for instance, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, is quoted as saying l'halacha that we do consider these things to be muksa machmas gufo and not as kelim shemalachto l'isser, which means that according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, to be considered a kli shemalachto l'isser, you must be something that, even though your primary use is for Isser, there are some heter usages. That's the view of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I'm told that Rabbi Yashiv holds that way. And to distinguish between those who are alive and those who have passed on. So Rav Shechter, Shlita Shit also is quoted as holding this way. Now, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach does add that if there is some permissible, albeit the infrequent use, such as using it as a paperweight. Now, I know theoretically anything which is not huge could be used as a paperweight, but there are things that are more generally used as paperweights. Like they say about a phone. We had a little bit of discussion last week if a phone is considered muksa machmas chesron kis. But assuming that it's not, because many people allow their children to play with it and they don't, they leave it on the couch, they don't always put it in a set place. So a phone is something that's often on the table, and people will often, let's say they want, I've even seen people like, saying you should do this, but I've seen people at St. Shul, they want to keep their sitter open, they take out their phone, and they put it on the pages to keep the pages open. So that's something that's on the phone. Another example that he brings are keys. Now the keys are often on the table, and if you want to, something on the desk, you don't want it to fly away, so you put the keys down on top of the papers in order to make sure they don't fly away. So if there is some type of use, even if it's infrequent, so it would still be considered a kli shemalachto l'isser. Right? Let's say the key, which you use to turn on your car. So driving a car is certainly a malacha. So the key is a kli shemalachto l'isser. It's a kli that's used in order to turn on cars. So it's a kli shemalachto l'isser, seemingly. There's a little bit of discussion, I think, about this in Shmir Shabbos Kolchosa. But let's assume that a car key is a kli shemalachto l'isser. But maybe it should not be. Maybe it should be muksa machmas gufo because it has no uses on Shabbos. And if we're going to be machmir for Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that something, and this daya of the Mor Ptzia in the Mishnah Berurah, if that's the pshat in that daya, if we're going to be machmir and say that anything which doesn't also have some type of secondary heter use is not considered a kli shemalachto l'isser, but rather it's muksa machmas gufo, then maybe your keys are absolutely muksa machmas gufo, and the answer would be that no, it is a acceptable, reasonable usage to use keys as a paperweight, and therefore it wouldn't be considered something that's completely, completely out of your mind. And it would not be muksa machmas gufo, but it would rather be a kli shemalachto l'isser. The Orchos Shabbos says it has to be something that you actually do sometimes during the week. Meanwhile, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in that same source, it's source 19 in our source booklet, so he writes that b'shas hadchak, we can be makil for the other opinion. What's the other opinion? The other opinion is the first opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, that anything, even if it's kulo l'isser, anything which has a isser usage on Shabbos is considered a kli shemalachto l'isser, even if it's kulo l'isser, even if there's no theoretic heter usage, it's still considered a klisha malachto le'iser and can be moved in certain situations. Okay, we've discussed a little bit about defining a klisha malachto le'iser. So let's move on now to what, because we've already referenced it here once or twice, what are the halachos of a klisha malachto le'iser? As I mentioned, klisha malachto le'iser is not as muksa as other things. There are times when you can move a klisha malachto le'iser. And this is what we're told in the Shulchan Aruch, if we can all flip to Sif Gimel, right, upstairs in the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Gimel, and we're again, we're in Simen Shin Ches, in Chelek Gimel of Mishneh Berurah. So, Shulchan Aruch says like this in Sif Gimel, Kli Shemalachto Le'iser, which we've defined what that means, is Mutter L'Taltalo, you're allowed to move it, Beim L'Tzorech Gufo, and then continuing a little bit more, Beim L'Tzorech Makomo. But the Shulchan Aruch defines what those things mean. Bein l'tzorach gufo, meaning kegon kornish shel zahavim o nafachim l'ftzoa bo agozim. If you have a mallet of people who work with gold or other skilled workers, and you want to use it to crack open nuts, or a kardom lachtoch bo devela, or some type of axe or cutting implement in order to cut through dates. So you're allowed to use the axe, even though the axe is generally used for chopping down trees, which is a malacha. But if you have a mutter usage, you want to cut through food, you're allowed to use it. That's called litzorech gufo. You need it for itself. Or if it's litzorech makomo, which means that you need the location. I need the spot where the hammer is right now. Let's say I leave the hammer on an end table in my living room. And I would like to put there on Shabbos, you know, my reclining chair is right next to the end table. And I want to put my sefer that I'm reading. You know, I have a nice glass of whatever, seltzer, and I have my sefer, and I want to read the sefer and put the seltzer down. The only problem is, or I want to drink the seltzer and put the book down. The only problem is that there's a hammer there that someone left before Shabbos. So I'm allowed to move it out of the way because it's in a spot that I need. So I can take the hammer either for itself to go crack nuts, or I can move it out of the way in order so that I can use that space. Okay, so that is what the Shulchan Aruch defines for us. Litzorech gufo or litzorech makoma. What are you not allowed to do? So if you look at a little bit later in the Shulchan, that same piece in the Shulchan Aruch, I'm skipping purposely for now, a line, he tells us, aval, nechama litzel, but to move it from the sun from a sunny area to a shady area, meaning I don't want it to be ruined. Right now it's sitting someplace and it's going to get ruined because it's in the sun or it's in the rain. So I want to move it to a different area. That's, I'm nervous it's going to break. Oh, yiganev. Or I just want to protect it. I'm nervous it's going to get stolen. Then it's aser. So the halacha of a klisha malachto le'iser is, it is allowed litzorech gufo. It is allowed litzorech makomo, but it is not allowed nechama litzel. It's not allowed in order to just protect it. Now, the Mishneh Berurah adds some very interesting points here about the, let's go back to the Shulchan Aruch for a second, that one line that I skipped. Shulchan Aruch adds that you're allowed to move it for these purposes. So now that we've defined when I can carry it and when I can't carry it, can't move it and can move it, says the Shulchan Aruch an extra chiddush. Once I'm moving it, the heter, I can move it wherever I want. Meaning I might have thought that if I need to make space to put my drink down, I can move the hammer just, you know, over a foot. So in order to clear that space. Says the Shulchan Aruch, no, once you pick it up to move it, you can then carry it upstairs and put it away in its shelf. Meaning once it's in your hand and it came into your hands, the heter, so you're allowed to continue to move it. So these are the dinim of klisha malachto le'iser. The heter, l'tzorech gufo, l'tzorech makomo. The heter that once you do pick it up for those reasons to then keep moving it to wherever you want. But the iser, it's still muksa if you're only moving it to protect it, whether from being broken or from being stolen. Okay. The Mishneh Berurah here in Tes Zayin points out something very, very interesting. And this is something that a kula that we're going to find by muksa, probably because it's derabanan, there's going to be a kula here. And that is, says the Mishneh Berurah in Tes Zayin, im choshev olav gam lishtamesh, with tashmish mutter, so im choshev olav gam, with tashmish mutter l'taltel,
afilu ikar kavanaso mechama letzel. So if you're choshev alav gam letashmish, if you also have in mind something to use it for, you're allowed to move it, even if your ikar kavana is to move it from chama letzel. Meaning, let's say my hammer, I left it outside and it's getting rained on, it's getting ruined. It's a delicate hammer and it's going to get ruined. But I can't move it inside just to protect it. So what do? I quickly say, honey, take out the nuts. And I say, oh, I need a hammer now. So I go outside, I pick up my hammer to bring it in order to crack open some nuts. So I do that, and that should be mutter. Oh, but my ikar kavana, I wasn't really in the mood for nuts, but I'll eat the nuts. My ikar kavana was to protect it, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's okay. Because as long as you are doing it for a tzorach gufo, so it's all okay, even if your ikar kavana is to protect it. Based on that, in Tesvav, one sifkutin before in the Mishnah Berurah, he has another interesting heter. And he says, Al yidei einu Yehudi yesh lomar deshari b'cholzeh. You are allowed to ask to Amir Lenachri, to a guy, to move it in order to protect it from Chama Letzel. And I believe the reason given by the Achronim here is because since there is a permissible way for you to do it, what's your permissible way? You can theoretically concoct the tzorech. That's what we just saw in the Mishnah Berurah Tazayin, that you can concoct a reason of why you need it, even though it's not your ikar reason. So since there is a heter way to move it, so you're also allowed to ask a guy to do it. Interestingly, the poskim write, in Shmir Shabbos Kachos, it's brought down that he's not so sure, he doesn't think you could do that for moving muksum achmas kasrin kis. But we said last week that muksum achmas kasrin kis is not allowed to be moved at all. There was a debate, and we paskin lakula, about whether you can move it with a shinoi or klachriyat. The gufo, klachriyat, with a shinoi. Can you move it with a shinoi? So maybe you can make the argument that you can ask a guy to move something which is muksamach maskasrin kis. Since there is a heter way to move it, you can move it with a shinoi. They say that's not really considered a heter way to do it. That's not really called moving it. Shinoi is a whole different sugya. That's not really looked at as moving it. But if there is a bona fide heter way to move something, then you're allowed to ask a Gentile to move it. Okay. So that was in terms of the Tzorech gufo. The tzorech gufo. We were trying to define what that means. And we said it means using it for itself or even to concoct a reason. How do we define the tzorech makoma? So as we said, what it means is that you need the space where it's located. So again, if there's a hammer on the table and you want to put your drink down or you want to put a tablecloth on, so you got to move the hammer because the location, you need the location. Another common case might be that if there's a hammer sitting somewhere and behind it is, I don't know, a book you want to get to. You have a hammer on your bookcase. Someone left it there. And behind it is a safer you want. So you ought to move the hammer out of the way in order to take the safer because its space is blocking your hand from that space that you want to access. So that's what it means, Lutzarach Makomo. What does it not mean? So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa and the Yalkut Yosef both bring down that if you don't need the area, but you just don't want the object to be there, I don't actually need the end table to put my drink down or to put my book down, but I don't want a hammer on my end table. You know, it bothers me that it's sitting out. It should have been put away. So that's not considered tzorach makoma. Now, the Yalkut Yosef notes, you can still move it with a shinoi, but again, we're trying to distill here the halachos, when can I move it in the regular fashion? And the answer is that this is not considered tzorech makom. There is a more makel approach that the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa brings down in his footnotes there, I believe, and in the Yalkut Yosef, he also brings it down, that there are those that are makel about this, that they do define that as tzorech makomo. And the Shmir Shabbos, I think in the actual Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, he just writes there are those who are makel about this. And in the footnote, he writes that if the presence of this muksa item sitting on your table will generate a tremendous amount of embarrassment for you, you know, you're going to bring guests in for a Shabbos meal, and on the end table in your living room is a hammer. So you might be able to move it because at a certain point, it really becomes a tzorech almost. I don't know if that's exactly the way to say it, the lumdus. But if it's really embarrassing, at a certain point, you can move it. Interestingly, Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes that it shouldn't be embarrassing. It's the epitome of Shabbos stick to leave it there because you're showing your guests how makbid you are on muksa. I know we're all thinking, yeah, but it shows that I'm also not so responsible because I left it there before. But Moshe wasn't buying this, didn't buy completely this whole idea of, oh, you're embarrassed by it sitting there. Although I did see in the Shalos Juvas V'Dibar Tabam, brought down the name of one of Rav Moshe Feinstein's children. I don't remember if it was David Feinstein or Reuven Feinstein, but brought down the name of one of the sons of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that if it's really preventing Oneg Shabbos, the embarrassment, so at a certain point, it probably will become a tzorech to be able to move it. But another heter that's brought up in terms of defining something as tzorech makomo is, interestingly, the poskim talk about moving something out of a room if its presence is bothering you in a tangible way. I mean, until now, we've been talking about, oh, I'm embarrassed by having the hammer on the table. So it's creating some type of emotional pain. And I need that space. I don't need that space, but I need it out of that space. So that was a little bit of a discussion. Can you really be makel about that? But the poskim do allow if moving it out of the space is going to stop it from bothering you in a physical way. So one of the examples that they bring is like an alarm clock that's beeping and it's really bothering you. So can you pick up the alarm clock and move it out of the room? I don't really need the space where it is. It's not like I need to put a drink down on my night table or a book down. I don't need to put a book down right now, but it's just really bothering me, the alarm. So the presence of it in the room, is that enough of a tzorach makomo? I need it out of here because I need the space to stop ringing. This space is making a lot of noise because of this alarm clock. So the poskim are makel about that. Rav Moshe talks about, and this is more complex because we're going to have to talk soon, probably next week, about lights. But let's assume for now there isn't a problem with this. If you have a portable light that's, you know, it's not plugged into the wall and runs on batteries and it's shining in the room and it's lighting up the room, so you can carry it out of the room if it's preventing you from sleeping. We're going to see carrying lights is not so posh. But for now, we'll assume that that's okay. Rav Moshe brings up this possibility. This would all be in this category of something where we're not talking about classic tzorach mekomo. Classic tzorach mekomo means I really need the space where the object is. This is more of this form of tzorach mekomo where I don't need the space, but I just don't want this thing here. So the poskim are more mako when it comes to something that the presence of it is causing a tangible annoyance. But one last point about the tzorech gufo, defining tzorech gufo, there's an interesting chumra brought up by the Mishnah Berurah, where what if I have a kli shemalachta leheter that is available, equally available at this time? Meaning, we talked about using a hammer to crack open nuts. Well, what if I have right next to the hammer, I have a nutcracker? Am I still allowed to use the hammer? So if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah Yud Beis, cut Yud Beis in our Siman, Mishnah Berurah says, this is on the line in Sif Gimel that says you're allowed to move it with Tzorach Gufo, says the Mishnah Berurah, Umayri She'ein Lo Kli Heter L'tash Mishzeh. We're specifically limited to a case where you don't have an actual Kli Heter. Because if not, then you should not be using, you're not able to use the hammer. You're not able to use the Kli Shemalachto L'Isser. So this is a significant chumrah that the Mishnah Berurah brings down, and not everybody accepts it. For instance, in the Akut Yosef, he does not accept this distinction. But Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes it, Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva says he accepts it, but he limits it a little bit. He takes a little bit of the bite out of it. And he says, you know, we have to figure out what does it mean that you have a kli shemalachta leheter that's easily accessible. So in the case I described before, it's obvious. If you have a hammer on the table and right next to it, you have a nutcracker. So that's where the Mishnah Berurah applies. Ashkenazim would say that you cannot use the hammer. Sfaradim would say you can, because the Akud Yosef does not accept this chumra. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, you would not be able to use the hammer. Question is, what if it's in another room? What if it's a burden to get it? It's not easily accessible. You know, I think in Rav Badner's Hilchos Mux, he talks about being in a different room. Rav Moshe talks here, this is source 22 in our source sheet, he talks about if, you know, your neighbor has it, you have to go knock on the neighbor's door and borrow it, the Kli Shemalachta Leheter, before using a klishim alach to lister. And I believe he says you don't have to. So the Rav Moshe does limit it. You know, if it's in the same room, it's one thing. But if it's a tircha, it's all the way upstairs and you're down here, you're relaxing. So downstairs, you don't want to go all the way upstairs. So then there would be room to be makel. Another really fascinating question is, what if I'm going to need it l'tzorach gufo, but I'm going to need it later in the day? Can I move the hammer now from, whatever, my workshop into my kitchen? Because in 5 hours from now, on Shabbos, in 5 hours from now, I'm going to need to crack open nuts. Right? I'm having guests over for Shal Shittus. We're going to be serving nuts, and I want to be all ready for when they get here. So can I already get the hammer now? And in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he says that you can. So, and therefore, this would also be a little bit of a way of solving the problem of protecting it from the rain. Let's say it's raining outside. I want to bring the hammer in. So I already said that we can concoct the tzorech. Well, what if I can't concoct the tzorech right now? Like, I don't have nuts available right now. But my neighbor is planning on coming over for Shal Shittus, and we already planned that he was going to bring nuts with him. So can I bring in the hammer now because I'm going to need to use it later in the day? And the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa says you can. So we do see that there is some room, some wiggle room when it comes to these halachos. And certainly, as we already said, that a shinoi would be allowed as well. So let's just very quickly, just to sort of towards the end here, let's just conclude by going through some very practical examples of a Kli Shem Alach V'Lisser, of Kelim Shem Alach V'Lisser. So the classic examples I already quoted, a hammer, a pencil, car keys, these are things that are practical examples of Kelim Shem Alach V'Lisser. I will note that it's got to be a Kli. You know, shoe polish or laundry detergent, those aren't Kelim. Those are going to be muksa machmas gufo. They're still going to be inherently muksa and much more machmir. You can't move those litzorach gufo, litzorach makoma. So if your shoe polish is blocking your sefer, you can't move the shoe polish. You can't with a shinoi, but you can't move it. Perhaps we're going to discuss that, but you can't move it with, you can't just move it straight up and because it's not a kli. A hammer is a kli. Okay. Interesting, a car or is seemingly a Kli Shem Alach V'Lisser. And it's there's a little bit of this debate if it's Muksa Machmas Chasrim Kiss or not. But cars are always going to be a problem once you want to open the car door because it's going to turn on all these lights on the dashboard. What about other electrical items like a dishwasher or a washing machine? So there's a little bit of debate of how you classify these things in the first place. Some say it's muksa machmas chasrim kiss. You know, it's something you try not to move around. You don't want to ruin it. Some look at it as a muksa machmas chasrim kiss. Others look at it as the classic Kli Shem Alach V'Lisser. There's those who even look at it as a Kli Shem Alach V'Heter because it has a very common standard heter usage, which is storage. Let's say if we're talking about a dishwasher. A lot of people either put the dirty dishes in there and keep them in there until they're ready to wash them. And even after the wash is done, they store them in there. They, you know, and the kids come and they take the plates out of the dishwasher and then use them. They literally store the clean dishes in the dishwasher. So there's a little bit of a debate how to define it in general. Is it defined as a Kli Shem Alach V'Lisser? Is it defined as a Kli Shem Alach V'Heter? But the interesting question is regarding opening the door. Excuse me for 1 second. Is that my computer has about to die, so just plug it in. Okay, so let's assume for now it's a Kli Shem Alach V'Lisser. Whether we're talking about the whole dishwasher or even if we're just talking about the door. Because the door could be looked at as a separate kli that you use in order to close the dishwasher, not able to run the dishwasher without it. So it's something that's that does serve an isser purpose. It's used for washing because the machine won't work without it closed. But the post can say that you are, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa brings it down. He brings it down regarding cars, interestingly, but that was back when cars didn't necessarily have all these lights that went on when you opened the door. And you might have things that you store in the car. You know, you keep things in the back of the car. So can you open the car door to get out those things on Shabbos? So if the car is a klishim lachtol iser, or if the car door is a klishim lachtol iser, so that's the debate. So we're going to talk about it regarding washing machines and dishwashers, because that's, I think, a more practical case nowadays, because as I said, the cars have another problem because of all the lights. But when you open the door of the dishwasher, so because you want to take out a plate for Shabbos, so it should be allowed because that's tzorach makomo. This door is blocking my access to the things. So I can move the door out of the way, so to speak, in order to access the clothing inside or the food that's inside, the dishes that are inside. The question is about closing the door, because at that point, I don't really need to do that. Now, if you tell me you're going to close it because you don't want the stuff to get ruined, well, that's to protect it. You're not allowed to move a klishim lachtol iser for that reason. Only with tzarach makomo, with tzarach gufo. I don't know. It could be with a dishwasher. At least in my house, the dishwasher is, in a way, is in a place where if we would leave it open, people would be tripping over it all the time. So it could be that we need that space. That space is how we get to the sink. So it is the tzarach makomo. But for instance, our washing machine is, you know, in a separate room, which is like the laundry room. And in there, you know, it's not really blocking anyone. No one's really going in there on Shabbos unless they're going in to take something out of the washing machine. So there, it could be a much more of a problem to close it. Now, again, you could close it with a shinoi. You know, you can kick it closed or elbow it closed. But in terms of closing it in the classic way, regular way, so that would seemingly be a problem. The interesting pots and their lids are also considered klishim lachtol iser, as we said. Now, when there's food in the pot, so then you're allowed to move it around for whatever you want, not just l'tzarach makomo, l'tzarach gufo, because at that point, when the food is in there, we look at the pot as being secondary to the food. So that for sure can be moved around when the food's in there. But empty pots are kelim shel lachtol iser. So l'tzarach makomo, if you need the space, you can move it. L'tzarach gufo, you can move it. You want to pour water and you can't find a pitcher, so you want to fill up a pot. That for sure you can do l'tzarach gufo. So that would be the question there.